Everybody, welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm CJ, joined tonight by two guys who have already submitted their list to Santa. It's Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
Doing good, doing good. I had to pull out the old JCPenney catalog to you know, bookmark all the items I wanted out of it. So,
JB, did you have the catalog days. Still?
I miss those days. Those are always fun going through those as a kid.
Seeing all the stuff you could never find in the stores, and you saw in the catalog that I have to have this.
Had to have it, of course.
Never got it. I mean, it was nice to circle it and hope for it. Yeah. Well, if you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. If you enjoy the show, make sure you leave a comment or a like and also subscribe. We would really appreciate it. You can contact us with ideas at podcast@thegamingtailgate.com. We're getting closer and closer to game news. Not quite there tonight exactly in terms of details. But let's start off with the news that we do have. Sportico, their host Scott, and even interviewed Cam Weber, president of EA Sports. And as part of this interview, they talk a lot about EA in general, a lot of EA Sports in general, a lot of EA Sports FC. But there is a segment starting at the 28-minute mark, and you can view this entire thing at thegamingtailgate.com, where he gets into EA Sports college football. Some of the highlights, he says twice they will have more news to share in the new year, which kind of reiterates what we've been speculating all along, that come January, we may finally get some game news from EA. He repeats again that the game will launch this summer, meaning summer of 2024. So we've heard that several times now from EA, that it sounds like that's all but set in stone. Even though I think we get a lot of clickbait online, people trying to push off or question if the lawsuit's going to delay the game, seems like that's not going to happen. The dev team will be comprised of new and old members, all love college football. They want to bring in some real players via NIL. They have to rebuild recruiting since it's changed so much in 10 years. I'll let you guys hop in here. Guys, what did you think of those early points that they brought up during the show? The NIL thing is interesting. When he says we want to bring in some real players, do you think that means for scans? Do you think that means for cover? What do you think that meant? There's a lot of things that we can infer or guess. I want to get your guys' opinions on that.
Yeah, my very biggest takeaway from that interview was that while I'm sure they would love to, I don't think we should expect for there to be every single team being completely full of NIL players. You know, maybe they focus on two deep or something like that for every team or something like that. But I kind of got the takeaway that they're going to do their best, but it doesn't sound very hopeful that they're going to have, you know, all 85 players for every single team.
Obviously, you know, that was what the whole, I guess some of the whole Brander thing that came out too, but yeah, it's interesting. It kind of felt like it was going to be like that way at first, but then now that the more that they talk about it, it seems like it may just be the starters. Hopefully we get at least two deep in there. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because you figured that obviously there was those rumors that there was going to be a blanket deal. Now, is it all individual? Do they have to get all these done individually, which is a lot of players? So I don't know what it is behind the scenes exactly, but it sounds like it's going to be less than we expected at first.
My guess is that there's no entity to do a full deal with everyone. Like nobody's part of a player association or anything like that. So you pretty much have to go out and probably, you know, for key profile players, they're going to go out and try to secure them individually. But for the rest of the team, if I had to guess, they're going to say, here's a free copy of the game, sign up or don't, you know, it's up to you kind of thing. And then, you know, again, maybe they do a little extra for the starters or something like that, but never know what they'll do. But either way, I think they'll at least throw out the offer of, for the people who don't see the field very often or something like that, they'll at least say, hey, if you want to be in the game, you know, here's a copy of the free copy of the game, but we're not going to do anything more for you or something. That's just a guess, of course.
Is there a blanket way of doing it through the schools?
No, because I mean, that's the whole thing, is that the player, it's their name, image, and likeness. So yeah, I mean, they could go to the schools and say, hey, hand out these contracts, see who signs it and returns it kind of thing. And they have a deadline of April 1st or whatever it is. But to me, they can't contract with the school because the school can't necessarily pass on that likeness with them.
The way I understand it, it's a mess because we can sit here now and talk about it. We're huge fans of the sport, and even we're confused on how this NIL coverage works. Let's finish with the last three bullet points like we kind of came up with. And Tommy, you came up with these notes. I appreciate you. You watched this first before I did. They asked Cam how many schools are on board, and he said he visits with the dev team every few weeks, and at last report about 130 teams signed. Now, whether that means 125, if that means 130 or 134, I don't know, but I think that's still encouraging. Matt Brown has been pretty insistent that he feels that everything will be in the game. They're all submitting assets. It seems like maybe they're waiting for the final NIL package to come through to make sure the players are getting paid. That's the kind of how I infer read between the lines of all this, that I think I feel confident all the teams will be in. But again, I'm nothing with my ear to the ground on this. I'm reading this all secondhand like everybody else is. Are you guys pretty confident in that?
Yeah, for the schools, to me, it's almost a sure thing. I mean, I think they see the bigger picture for the most part. Now, if EA was going to be screwing out the players and only offering $50 and we're going to use your image or otherwise, then yeah, I could see the Notre Dames and maybe even the Tulanes of the world that stick with their players. But at the end of the day, I think they may push EA's hand a little bit and then end up signing on the dotted line. But I think ultimately my guess is that by the time they launch their first trailer, they'll say all 133 teams are in the game or something like that.
In terms of assets, everything's done and they just got to click a button to put it into the game. I mean, it's not going to be, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as they say yes, it's okay. We apply it to that game because mm-hmm. it's not that we're going to wait and make this until they do it. They've already done that. So that's going to, the hard part is already done. So that, you know, as soon as they give the okay, then it's going to be right there for you. I mean, even if it was after release, you could probably patch it in, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the releases and patches that they put released today, I mean, sometimes 50 gig updates or whatever, they could surely include, you know, some images and stuff like that within the update.
He does talk about NIL with them. So you guys let me know it sounds like it's a offer them money they sign, or if there's some bigger system here at play that they might be working on.
I am not going to today talk about what our plans are. We're still working through finalizing those deals, but we are designing something that we want it to be equitable. We want it to be inclusive. We'd like to get as many players from these schools as possible to have the opportunity to be in the game. But there is a scale that is so massive that we need to take a different type of approach. And then there's the economics of it. We're working through all of that right now, and we're going to share more in the new year. Because it's not finalized yet and we're not locked down in what we're doing. So I don't have any more to share other than we do want to have players in the game from the schools, and there's a lot of complexity and we're working through that right now.
And I
think we'll have a cool solution that allows lots of players to be involved.
Okay, if you guys did not hear that, he hints towards a equitable, inclusive, and cool NIL solution, not finalized or locked down. And the exact quote is a cool solution that lets lots of players be involved. To me, that sounds like it's something more than just we pay them and you say yes or no. It sounds like, now I'm going to say speculation here, like Tommy's idea you mentioned a couple episodes back, maybe if you sign on the game, maybe you get into Ultimate Team and maybe you get extra money that way. It sounds like it's some greater, bigger system than just take it or leave it.
I would almost go a step beyond that if they try to do some sort of legitimate marketing with these players, not just NIL, here's a check, now go away, but rather, hey, if you'll appear in our commercials or online video, or if you stream the game on day one or something like that, we'll give you X number of dollars or something like that. I mean, again, that's where a lot of this originated from, was from, what was it, UCF or USF? I can't remember, the punter. He was streaming and he couldn't get paid for it. So now, I mean, why not do it, you know, for a video game that is specifically around college football, pay them to play the game for a day or two or something like that, or at least post videos on their Instagram or something, you know.
On top of that, you could have localized commercials made too. Obviously, in the digital world, that's a lot easier to do than it was 10, 14 years ago. You can have a commercial that is airing in, certain regions or just for that certain city, possibly. With each of those players as well. It also, kind of the way that he talks about it, it almost sounds like there is kind of a blanket system that they're trying to get in place, at least for the people that are more on an even playing ground. But obviously, then once you get to the top stars, then you got a lot of different scales between Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix. You got, those are guys that are top guys, but they're not on the same scale. Michael Penix might be more than Bo Nix, you know, just based on Heisman voting alone. But it almost sounds like to me that there is a blanket way that they're trying to do it too, to try to get as many people into the game.
That's true. When they're going to have 13,000 plus players potentially to go after, I'm sure they got to find as streamlined as possible. But it sounds like maybe they're coming up with something cool to pay them. Again, we will find out again in the new year, per Cam Webber's own words. For the heart of the show, we're going to do community feedback. A couple of shows back, we went through the first half of the season and we talked about what the community saw during the games that they want to see brought into the game. We got a lot of good feedback on that from the community, which we'll get into, and also some things that we saw from each week. And guys, you hop in here at any point. Week 8, Ohio State, Penn State, Marvin Harrison Jr., 11 catches, 162 yards, 2 touchdowns. The thing when I saw that was, can star wide receivers stand out in the game? That kind of stat line is something that computer generally does not do. A human player might do it, but not a computer. That's something that you know, watch a game like that, you think, okay, can in esports college football year one, can we get a receiver like that to have a stat line like that from the computer side of things?
I think just in general, receivers, yes, but just in general, players, especially outside of the quarterback and probably even running back, that truly have breakout games that, you know, kind of are career defining games. Because, yeah, you could have your quarterback go off and throw 500 yards, but you generally wouldn't see a receiver that would catch 80% of the quarterback's passes or something like that. It would have to spread it around a lot. But, you know, I again, besides even just offensive players, also include defensive players. I mean, have players like the linebacker from NC State. I can't think of his name right now, but he truly, you know, he was the heart and soul of their defense, and you couldn't even question that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Have that happen as well in, you know, in other teams and other areas.
Yeah, on top of that, you got to look at how, you know, quarter length as well, because on Madden, it's hard for that to happen in Madden if you're only playing 6-minute quarters. So that's another thing, is you got to almost kind of lengthen the game. And how many people, how many average users are going to really want to lengthen the game just to get something like that is going to, you know, do they want to play an hour and a half long game? I don't think they do. Especially this generation. So I don't know if it's something that's going to be something that we're going to see normally, especially if you leave it at the default 5 or 6 minute, even 7 minute quarters.
And this year, college football went to that running clock. So now it would be interesting to see how that reflects in the game if the game gets too short, where guys like us are always going to expand the quarter length to try to get better stats. I wonder what the default will be for EA Sports College Football year one, what they do with that, what I call basically a running clock now.
Yeah, and I think with Madden, it kind of defaults a lot more to a clock rundown. So I imagine in college football, they'll have the same thing to where the default is like 8-minute quarters or something like that. And like you said, the fast running clock before the ends of the half and the game. So to me, it's going to play like a totally different game versus 2014, that you never know how it's going to translate into the end of the game. But, you know, I think it is going to be that, especially hardcore guys, they are going to play 10, 12 minute quarters just to kind of get that stat line. But again, at the end of the day, to me, my goal was always to end at right around 1 hour. So that way, I knew how much time it would take. And, you know, I don't have to sit down and spend more time than that, than I needed to.
Also that week, Utah defeated USC. One of the big points there was two-way player Sione Bakke for Utah. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Sorry if I am. 217 total yards between rushing and receiving and 2 touchdowns. He also plays defensive back for them. I believe he's also a pretty young guy. So that it's one of those noteworthy things that this guy came in, and not only is he succeeding as a young player, he does it on both sides of the ball. And I can't help but think, you know, back in 14, in those years, we were starting to get more of the, when you recruit, you could be a, you know, multiple threat player. How will EA Sports College Football do that in year one? How will a guy like this be portrayed? I'm assuming he's going to be one of the, you think a guy like him, a guy like Travis Hunter, they're going to have great ratings across the board, and people are going to love to use them. So I can't wait to see how that's done in the game. LSU had a military-themed field art versus Army, which I thought was one of the cooler field arts of the year. And Iowa loses to Minnesota, following Cooper DeJean's fair catch touchdown on a punt return. Whoa. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Yeah.
Don't have the clip in action here. But basically, he was using his right arm to point out, to basically tell the blockers where to go. In the meantime, his left arm was kind of, I don't know if he was swinging it wildly. I don't know if it was for balance. I don't know if he realized what he was doing. Maybe it was a nervous tick, but it sure looked almost like a fair catch signal. And the rules pretty much say, like, if you do anything like that, we've got to call it. It was weird how they did it, though. They let him score, and I think they reviewed it and found it versus calling it at the time, which I don't know if that's proper review protocol.
Well, but I think letting it run.
Protocol.
Well, letting the play run is the proper protocol, is letting it play out.
But safety, it was so weird.
Can you review, did he motion for fair catch? I mean, is that one of the reviewable plays kind of thing?
I'm always under the impression the refs don't know either. They got it right, I think. I know Iowa fans don't want to hear that. I think they got the right call. But at the same time, if I was an Iowa fan, I would be livid. Because it wasn't a pure fair catch signal, but as a neutral observer, you can't do that. He's such a smart player, such a great player that I can see why they were extremely frustrated, and that cost them a one loss season.
Going back to
regular season.
Going back to Vaki, it's like, yeah, him and Travis Hunter, those are starting to become more in common now, especially more so than, 10 years ago. So it's going to be interesting to see how those are implemented into the recruiting scheme of a pool of players. How many of these guys are going to be there where you could have a wide receiver, cornerback, or, something similar to that? Because those are going to be, especially in online dynasties, the battles for those guys are going to be insane, especially if they're five-star. So I'm really hoping that EA notices that this is starting to become more of a trend with major colleges with these special athletes, and that they will implement them into the recruiting pool.
The thing is, you kind of hit there at the end. The thing is, it has to be special. It can't just be that there's five of them every season or something like that. I mean, there's two guys that really stand out that have done it this year. Mm-hmm. Before this year, how often did it happen that you actually heard about happening and standing out on both sides of the ball? So to me, it's got to be something that's very rare, very special. Shohei Ohtani kind of thing that only happens once every few years or something like that. So
I think as time progresses, though, I think you're going to see this more in college.
Maybe, but at the same time, like in the game, I wouldn't want to see every single player on my team that just because they have receiver and cornerback skills, I don't want them to progress at both plays. They should, it should be rare that, if they're a defensive back, their skills progress at defensive back, but their receiver skills either, fall off or something like that. If they're not playing the position, then they shouldn't get a bonus there.
Yeah, it depends on I think it should depend on how they perform on the field in the game as to how they progress within their stats.
So pay for play then.
We're already there, man. Give it the time. So we're already paying.
Yeah. Speaking of, real quick, so sorry to side rail this, but did you guys see the article talking about that they were trying to do like basically on the stadium screen to pay, like to donate money to a player or something like that? Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, that was actually a local guy on the radio. It made it as a joke. He's a former coach.
Oh, okay.
It was a quasi joke. But a lot of places picked it up as serious. It was Bill Bush on a Lincoln radio station. He was a coach at Nebraska last year and LSU before that. That was kind of jokingly saying, well, the next stage is going to be like in the game. This guy makes a big play and you can look up the video board and see the donations coming in at the time. You have a number to text or call in your donations for the big play. And you could see the numbers roll and the dollar signs start ching, 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 like a slot machine up there. That was a joke, but it caught on like it was not a joke. That I actually
don't. Old rich donors will be like, how do I do this?
I actually don't think it's that far off. It's one I know he meant as a joke, but I can actually see where it's what Twitch streamers do.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's not that far fetched.
Yeah.
It's not.
But it's not that wild of an idea. He thought it was a joke.
A lot of great ideas start as jokes. The NCAA won't allow that. Like their rules specifically are, it's not, pay for their performance or whatever. Obviously, the bigger players make bigger plays and therefore get more NIL. But at the end of the day, it's not, oh, you threw five touchdowns, here's, $10,000 or whatever.
They still give those McDonald's bags in the car after the game.
Yeah,
they don't do it during the game. We still do it the honorable way behind the scenes. Yeah. The final note on the two-way players, I think one of the big things is, how will the CPU do it? Will the CPU take advantage of them? I think that's always the key with almost any feature that goes into college football. Is how will the computer do it? Will the computer be smart enough to put players at two positions? Will they overuse or underuse them? Will they ever use them? That's one of those that, at least with the ratings there, you'd think they'd be smart enough to just automatically put them in the depth chart and play them. And also going back historically, it seems like this year there were more guys who were putting in a lot of snaps, namely Hunter. Vaki, I don't know his total snap count, so I hate to put him in that same group. But at the same time, historically, some of those guys, like Brian Urlacher back in the day from New Mexico, was playing linebacker, but he also did special teams. He was doing returns. So, I mean, then you go back, there's receivers who have done, a little bit of time at corner, but Hunter was the one that really blew it out by playing a ton of snaps on each side. So it's one of those, I argue with Tommy, it's very special, but it's weird. It seems like we're getting back to where they're...
I think as technology and everything progresses, I think you're going to see more of it, honestly.
Wouldn't surprise if each team has a guy, but then that doesn't mean they're all Travis Hunters. It just means okay, this guy's a linebacker, but he also returns kicks, or this guy's a receiver and he'll be
third string corner or something like that. Yeah.
Week 9, Kansas defeats Oklahoma. This was an awesome one. It ended an 18-game losing streak they had versus the Sooners. The fans tore down the goalpost and tossed them into Potter Lake. We always talk about, it seems like if they get the ability to tear down the field goal post in this game, that's got to be in the first trailer. And we always question if we'll ever be in. I don't know, the NCAA is no longer involved.
I was going to say, yeah,
the NCAA schools and conferences aren't upset about it.
I mean, it's, I don't think the schools would want to encourage it at the end of the day, in all honesty. So I don't think, even if they have it in, I don't think they'll have it on the first trailer because everybody will be excited otherwise. But maybe it's something that they release another one down the road, or like a launch trailer or something like that. But, you know, that's one of those that's, you got to be careful about your marketing, because you don't want schools getting pissed at you for adding something that, you know, increases chances of fans getting injured or something.
But maybe if they see it in the game, they won't want to do it in real life. They'll think, oh, I got my fill. I played 80 games this week and tore down the goalposts in 15 of them. I don't need this in real life anymore. Also that week, Georgia defeated Florida in a neutral site rivalry game. But players in the stands afterwards showing that emotion. Really, those first two games, the big key was just the emotion of it, the post-game emotion of the players, of the fans, that hopefully the game does a good job with that. I know in 14, they started to add some of those cutscenes in of fans and of players celebrating. Be interested to see how they do that in year one of the game coming back. James Madison, they beat Old Dominion to go to 8-0. It was a major talking point for quite a bit of this season about regarding their ability to play in the conference championship game and also bowl eligibility. And also, FIU wore their Sun Blazers throwbacks that week. I wasn't aware that that was their original mascot, but after seeing it, I think they need to go back to it. Instead of being the Panthers or the Golden Panthers, I think Sun Blazers is better and more unique than Panthers, because Panthers is one of those more generic school mascots that you get, you know, any college, any random high school. I like the Sun Blazers.
I think if they had started with Sun Blazers, maybe, but now it just seems like kind of Johnny come lately with the UAB Blazers or something like that. To me,
that is a good point.
To me, you kind of have to, you know, stick with what you got kind of thing. Yeah, I agree that the Panthers is kind of generic, but at the same time, it's, you know, to me, the Sun Blazers, people will probably joke about them wearing like leisure suit jackets or something like that. I don't know. But
That actually sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. But it, at the end of the day, I'm not a big fan of that one, but it would have been unique if they had come out with it originally.
Yeah, I wish they had stayed with that instead of changing to the Panthers.
And I've, you know, being a longtime Sunbelt fan, they were in the Sunbelt for the longest time. I had never heard of that. So that, you know, learned something new today.
Week 10, we had Oklahoma State winning the final bedlam. Caleb Williams showing a lot of emotion following a 52-42 loss at home versus Washington. Again, that ties into the emotion we had on the earlier week we just talked about. A big one here, Texas survived K-State 33-30 in overtime. The Wildcats were down 20, came back, they went for the win in overtime. Can the computer be that aggressive? And not necessarily that specific example, but in terms of going for it on fourth down in proper situations, can it be aggressive like Oregon was against Washington in the first matchup? Can it be aggressive like this, where instead of playing for a tie in overtime and second overtime, it goes for the win? That's one of those that, of course, the user is always going to do that. You're always going to have users who some go conservative, some go aggressive. What will the computer do? Will the computer ever be smart enough to be aggressive? What are your guys'
thoughts? It feels like on Madden, like in Madden, it feels like the computer's aggressive early and then they let off the gas. It almost seems like it almost seems like they succeed all the time in their first couple of drives. And then, you know, once you get a stop or get any sort of momentum, then they kind of let off the gas. It's kind of odd. So hopefully it's engineered to be aggressive late, you know, unlike Madden.
It should come down to some sort of like personality trait in the coach profile, to where it, you know, it's like a slider that says how aggressive they are or something like that. I mean, if you've got, you know, some coaches historically will go for it on every fourth down kind of thing, then, you know, they're super aggressive, whereas other coaches are scared of the shadow. So they, you know, will kick it from their own, from the opposite team's 30 or something like that.
Or they punt it from their own 45.
Yeah.
Or if they punt it 45.
Down by two touchdowns and with 4 minutes left or something.
That's right. You know? And also that week we had Iowa Northwestern from Rigby Field. I know they probably won't have Rigby Field in the game, but it would be nice to have some sort of generic baseball stadium for games like this to be played in.
Yeah, you'd almost have to have that for, what is it, the Yankee Pinstripe Bowl? I don't know.
Yeah, the Pinstripe Bowl. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you'd almost have to have, if you don't have the Yankee Stadium, then you'd have to have some sort of a baseball stadium to kind of get that feel.
One of the big plays that week, a trick play, USC ran this jet sweep return flea flicker. Awesome play, but when I watch it, all I can think is in the game, you would never get this kind of time. You would get crunched before the quarterback could get the ball back. But it was one play at the time that got a lot of attention on social media.
Now, you can see if nothing else, just more originality in the playbooks, to where each play, like some plays that no other teams have kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Make it to where each one feels totally unique and random, and you know, I don't know, maybe you unlock a really special play late in the season or something like that, because your team is kind of gelled together or something.
Week 11, Jaden Daniels went off 372 yards passing, 234 yards rushing, 5 total touchdowns. That was the week where I, in my opinion, he won the Heisman. It was over by that point. Michigan, you know, we could do a 40-minute show on them alone. They had a lot going on almost the entire season. The game against Penn State, they ran the ball every play except for one in the second half against the Nittany Lions. And the one time they passed it, I believe it was a penalty. So technically, it did not count as a play. So really, they ran the ball every play that second half, which goes to our earlier point. Could the computer ever be that kind of aggressive or no one do it? Because if a user does that, we call that cheese. Like, we say, hey, come on, man, mix it up and balance out. Whereas Michigan says, no, we can run the ball down your throat and we're going to do it. Also with them, you have the off-field drama with Connor Stallions, Jim Harbaugh being suspended for half the year. Just a lot going on with Michigan this season that we talked in the previous show about storylines, and we talked about earlier tonight about computer doing stuff. Just Michigan, just a massive storyline this entire season. Then you had Adunze having a great game against Utah. Same the point we had with Harrison earlier. Can receivers have big games in the game? And UCF with some great alternates that they wore. Pretty cool looking blue uniforms. Being that the game's developed in the shadow of UCF, basically, I feel pretty confident these will be in the game. Community-wise, Cy Hart weighed in. He said the recent revised redshirt rules and medical redshirts. One thing I remember in late PS2 era games was that if a player had a season-ending injury very early in the season, you can apply for a medical redshirt. That's a great point. The new redshirt rules, adding those in with the medical redshirts, it's going to be interesting to see how they are done in the game. And now that you can play 4 games and keep your redshirt, the game's going to have to log those for you or put them somewhere for you, maybe in the player icon even, you know, games played, so you know how many that guy has played. And if you get ready to put them in for a 5th game, we're going to get that pop-up like we had back on the PS2. Are you sure you want to pull their redshirt? So that one feels like that feature is going to be dusted off and brought back. And again, how will the computer do all this? Will the computer take advantage of the redshirt rules and play their freshman players?
That and the ability to play in the bowl game and not count against your year at all. To me, that it's almost turned into it anyways, but it kind of, in the game, it would allow you to get an opportunity to look at your young players that are coming back next year.
Mm. Yeah, it's one of those, it's a great feature. I mean, that they had in real life, and it's going to be a great feature in the game if it's implemented the way that it is in real life. Week 12, this one is a big one. Jordan Travis goes down to injury. Really shook up the season, especially 3 weeks later. How can the game communicate these major injuries? Granted, if it happens to your team, you're going to know about it. But in the past, would you always know about a major injury unless you went to the injury report? That's something I think where the ticker on the bottom of the screen can be really expanded in how it's used. I don't know if in-game updates would necessarily be great with injuries, but if the ticker would convey these top elite players going down with injury, I think would really tie, you know, this massive 130-plus team dynasty down, so you know really what's going on around the country. A big one here, you know, Tommy pushed for this one so hard, and I said, Tommy, this isn't important. Actually, this was really impressive. Arkansas State scored 28 unanswered points versus Texas State, and the offense never touched the ball in that sequence. They had a fumble return for touchdown, a kickoff return for touchdown, and 2 interception returns for touchdown. I guess I should say they scored 28 points without touching the ball, but I guess it wasn't on answer because they did give up a touchdown for that kickoff return.
It feels like that happens in Madden sometimes, where like the wheels just fall off and you get pick six after pick six. Like I said, it's kind of like I said in the beginning, like the computer just is a world beater in the first quarter, and then sometimes that computer's, the wheels just fall off of them.
That's what I was going to say, is if this happened to you against the computer, you would be rage quitting the game. I mean, it's
or against
it's
the user, you're dropping out.
Or against the user or whatever. I mean, at least the user, you can halfway explain it, but you would think that the game is cheating you if it's from the computer.
Going back to Jordan Travis, this, you know, things like major stories like that, or major upsets, it's something you could probably put into halftime as a quick news, big news stories, put it in the halftime of games, you know, something like that. Mm.
And the final point for that week, Arizona defeated Utah, UNLV defeated Air Force. How can programs rise in big seasons be brought to the forefront? Those are two teams that hadn't had much success lately, especially UNLV historically. How can they build up in the game, and how can that be conveyed to the user? Because that is a pretty cool story, especially UNLV that historically has only been to 5 or 6 bowl games ever. To get to a bowl game is a pretty big feat.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that in real college football, you see those storylines you know, come up and down throughout the season. So, I mean, you would want to see that translated to the game to where, no, they're not, they may not have a, you know, a run to the national championship every year or anything like that. But at the same time, they're not going to win four games every season. They're going to have a great coach get hired away after two seasons and then they drop back down or something like that. So it would be interesting to see how they can translate kind of those ebbs and flows of a team. You know, Arkansas State's a perfect example, won three conference championships in a row, and then our coach kind of stuck around too long, and now we're trying to rebuild and come back up. And then as well, you know, another program I'm a fan of wearing it now, Duke, Cutcliffe is there for a number of years and kind of keeps the program stable. And then Elko comes in and kind of just, you know, shakes things up completely and then isn't gone in 2 years. And
right.
instead hire Manny Diaz. And I don't have much high hopes there, but we'll see.
It's going to be interesting to see if Duke falls off from there. And of course, how Elko can, you know, handle a big, you know, SEC challenge there too. So definitely going to be an interesting dynamic to see which way both those teams go.
Community feedback on that week. We had Zach at Caddy Zach. Hope it's nothing like EA Madden NFL or else we're in trouble. We'd love to see NIL and transfer portal and hopefully roster updates that get us real rosters. I'm afraid it's probably going to be a little bit like Madden year one. I imagine the differences will get greater as time goes on. NIL transfer portal seems like the transfer portal is going to be in. That seems like one of the few gimmies we have feature wise. Roster updates will be interesting. Going back to when we talked about really off to start the show, if it's with such a big task getting players, it wouldn't shock me to see roster updates throughout the year, just in terms of adding players. Maybe that also includes depth chart changes. NIL, we talked about that last show. That's going to be real interesting to see how they handle that.
Well, yeah. And I think they would probably, in their agreement with the players, say that we are going to do, you know, ratings changes throughout the season or something like that. So, I mean, that way when you have a player that really come on and light it up, then, you know, he can, you know, his ratings reflect that or something like that. So, again, they would have to put that in the agreement. They're not just going to do that out, you know, out and out. But at the same time, they can, you know, it can catch people's attention that, hey, this player had a great season, had a great week. Can we see a ratings boost or whatever?
Then Josiah Forsythe, he wants ESPN's College Game Day. Based on what Matt Brown has reported and kind of intimated, it seems like there's a pretty good chance we're going to get some form of game day in the title. Granted, things can always change before release, but based on what Matt Brown has heard, what he heard when he went to Montana State last year, and ESPN personalities kind of intimated that may be happening, it seems like a good chance that'll be in the game. Week 13, Mississippi State's interim coach Greg Knox rode out of the tunnel in the Egg Bowl on a four-wheeler. And also Mississippi State, they always have the cowbells. These schools have great traditions. You know, the four-wheeler, I don't think we'll see in the game. But then these suggestions are all, you know, half humorous, half serious. That's one that would be really funny if there was some – if we ever get a real detailed creative coach, maybe that's an unlockable. You can have them enter the field on a four-wheeler.
It's DLC. Yeah.
That one I might consider doing. That one I might think about. And the cowbells, that's what they're known for. It's almost to a fault. But Mississippi State, that'd be cool to see in the game. The big one that week, gameplay-wise, Alabama connecting on that fourth and goal to beat Auburn, which really set the wheels in motion if it weren't already there for Florida State to get left out of the playoff when Alabama won that game, when they had no business winning that game. If you are playing as in a situation like Auburn and the computer converts, you know, a fourth and goal from the 29 or the 31, you're going to turn off the console.
But yeah, again, yeah.
That's one of when they only rush two or three guys. At the time, I thought, this isn't going to end well, guys. And sure enough, guy didn't think they'd score. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I called it. When I saw that they didn't rush anybody, I thought, they're going to get a chance here at least. And they got more than a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And like you said, you're going to, you know, throw a controller or shut off the console or something when that happens to you.
It's happened a time or two online before.
You're going to yell at EA.
It's
going to be their fault somehow.
Game's broken.
Look, if you're an Auburn fan, that definitely seemed broken that night. Farmageddon between Iowa State and Kansas State. Extremely snowy day. Did you guys see that game? They were going out between plays and blowing off the yard markers with leaf blowers so you could see the field. Just a wild game with a lot of big plays. But what really stood out besides the weather, and I know the weather caused this, Iowa State won that game. Despite Kansas State running 102 plays, Iowa State only ran 35 plays that day. Because when they had the ball,
for about 50 yards per carry, that'll help.
Yeah, and the K-State was getting about 4 yards per carry, and Iowa State was getting 30 or whatever. I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah, that's just one of those that I don't know if you ever, and that was a school record for plays by Kansas State. They had never run that many plays in a game before and they lost. I can't think that happens very often.
Well, yeah, that's actually, the thing is you don't run that many plays unless you are only picking up a few yards at a time. I mean, yeah, you have the, you know, the fast paced offenses, you know, especially, you know, 10 years ago or so that would run 70, 80 plays a game or whatever. But you can't do that unless you're doing a lot of dink and dunk. I mean, unless the other team is giving you the ball a lot, you're not going to have a chance to make big plays running that many plays.
There's a lot of times you think if you only have 35 plays being run against you, you think, boy, that's a three and out every time. If there's only there's 10 possessions a game, well, dang.
Oh, and they ran for 500 yards.
Yeah, they must have been three and out. And it wasn't. That was a pretty cool game to watch. And the last game, Iowa-Nebraska had the lowest over-under from Vegas at 24, and it hit. The final was 13-10. That was a real sickos committee game. And I don't know if the listeners, if they don't know who the Sickos Committee is, I don't know if I could explain it. It would take time. The only way I can think to explain it is the group of fans who appreciate the beauty in ugly, ugly football, that there's no such thing as bad football, that they love a game that's, you know, let's say an impressive 20-24 game as much as a punt fest 3-0 game.
And yeah, that game was
the definition of it.
Appreciating all of the nuances of college football, just that. Not everything is pretty, but it's still enjoyable and it's still college football.
And there's still strategy involved and there's still a lot at play here. And that game was, especially that ending, was a real sickle game with Iowa throwing the interception. Nebraska should have gotten in position for at least a game-winning attempt at a field goal. Well, then they throw an interception. Iowa is able to go in and get a game-winning field goal. That's one of those that just the whole thing was less than impressive, but yet a fun game to be at and fun game to watch.
Yeah, two-thirds of us were at that game.
Yeah. I may not claim it, but yeah, it was a fun game to watch.
Suffered through that.
Yeah, it's more exciting to a casual audience for baseball when it's like a pitcher's duel, but with football, I don't think it doesn't fly, I don't think, for the majority of college football fans.
That's a good point.
It's like this.
Because wide open gameplay is on the back of the box. It's never defensive slugfest, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, my punter got player of the game. Yeah.
I think it comes down to, is it because the defenses were that great or is it because the offenses were that poor? And usually you can tell a major difference.
Aaron Salzman, Salz for life, that week he responded with feedback as he wants this as the cover. And this was a pretty cool shot of Blake Corm following the Michigan game, bruised and battered. That was a pretty cool shot. Victor G at VapoRub 83. Do you think he gets free VapoRub for using that name? coaches get fired midseason, basically a carousel before championship weekend. That is a good point because the carousel does not start, you know, once the season's over in real life. It starts that last week or two. I don't think we'll see it in the game, but he has an excellent point. That carousel does start early. It would be nice to have some feedback. You know, if you're on the hot seat or coaches are on the hot seat, maybe you do get some of that action starting a little bit early.
Well, and then as well, that gives the players a chance to enter the transfer portal early. So, I mean, you could start planning on who you want to contact late in the season. Do you want to call the high school player or the JUCO player, or do you want to call this guy that may be transferring? So that could get interesting. Yeah, I'd love to see, because that's not anything we've ever seen in the past is firing midseason. But to me, that would be a huge wrinkle if they could do that.
And maybe it's one of the things where if it's a user-controlled team, it doesn't happen. You know, so there's a loophole. So it's only computer teams.
Right,
so I would hate to be playing that dynasty. And week 10, it tells me, sorry, you got fired.
Yeah, exactly. Sure,
you can sim the game, but you're not going to be coaching in it.
Yeah. You could watch the computer play it.
Yeah. Coach Guns weighs in. 4th and 29 has to be an achievement. I totally agree with that. In general, I think the achievements for EA football games have been pretty poor historically. Pretty uninspired is probably the best way to put it. I really think a segment each year needs to be based on what happened the previous season. They go back and look at where were some of the big moments, have players recreate. Like, you know, Jane Daniels, you know, we talked about earlier, he had the 370 passing, 230 rushing, 5 touchdowns. Well, everybody likes to cheese a little bit in this game. Should make that a trophy. You have to have a big game like that with so many yards from your quarterback. Getting a 4th and 29 would be tough because you wouldn't make it 4th and goal with 29. That'd be a little tougher. I mean, I guess it's possible. You just first down, you run back. And then gives you 3 tries to get it. But I mean, I agree with his point that things that happen in real life should be achievements in the game.
That's another thing you can have with the NIL and the bigger players too, is to recreate those moments from last year and have that a game mode that features those.
But then if half the players have either graduated or gone on to the NFL, then it becomes a lot trickier. So,
well, maybe I highlight the main guy, and that he's the only guy that maybe is named or whatever, The real guy is the guy that you're focusing on trying to get the achievement with.
And then conference championship weekend, of course, the big aspect, the one thing everybody talked about afterwards, the Dr. Pepper tuition giveaway. How do we get that in the game? A mini game? Halftime mini game. Tell me where it's a bad idea. The more you think you realize it's not that bad of an idea.
Now, it'd be fun and neat, and it's a great way to get a sponsor from Dr. Pepper, but how are you going to actually do that?
It would have to be just a cheesy, simplistic moving crossbar, hit X to get it through the tub. I mean,
right.
I'm only half serious by saying that.
To me, maybe make it a cutscene that just happens on that week or something like that.
I can see that.
Showing a big check and showing, the guy who won it or something like that. But I don't think mini game is really gonna how you would do that. It'd be interesting though.
I don't know. I think there's always a way. Where there's a will, a way. Where there's a sponsorship, there's definitely a way. The big one is probably realistically the final playoff field reveal. That was the big one that weekend on that Sunday when we got that. How does the game convey that? We know the playoffs are gonna be in, a big important aspect. The presentation of it, I think, is going to be important and vital how they do that, and especially the field. So much during the season, I don't know how vital it is, but when you get to that last week and the final four teams are revealed, and if you get it where there's several one-loss teams or the teams on the bubble, basically, because next year we're going to the 12-team format, so the teams that are left out, how do you present that? I think that's going to be important.
College Game Day is already rumored to be in there. I mean, you could easily have an extra studio show in there to kind of produce, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, really, but kind of mock a studio show. If you're going to mock a College Game Day, they could easily mock one for the playoffs.
Mm. Well, the thing about it, though, is they're not going to have anything to reference. I mean, they're going to be creating it themselves. It's going to be the first time you have a chance to see it, to see the 12 teams or whatever.
Right.
How are you going to unveil it, and what's the format look like? The other thing that also is even trickier is now, A, you've got more teams, but B, you've got all of these major teams that are all going to be in two conferences. That are you going to pick a one-loss UNC to be the second team from ACC, or are they going to get left out because there's all these two-loss schools from Big Ten and SEC that get in ahead of them, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then as well, how do you choose the best group of five school, depending upon schedule? I mean, Liberty got in this year. I think to me, as a group of five fan, a lot of people didn't like that because they had the weakest schedule in all of the country. So, I mean, all they had to do, because they are a rich school, all they had to do was schedule cupcake games every week. They're in considerably the weakest conference there is, so it's easy for them to go 13-0 every season, relatively easy at least.
It's gonna be interesting. I wonder if they go in and can mock previous seasons to see how their simulation logic works and tweak it from there. Granted, you never know how the committee would have done it in the past, but that's really all they can go by. Of course, now they have a one less conference, whereas every other year we had a Pac-12 team to put in there. And they've said, well, already now that's not going to be the case, obviously. So you're right. That's going to be real tough how they do that. And this is the first time seeing it and the first time seeing how it's picked. So no pressure on EA at all.
Yeah.
Zero pressure.
I'd like to see some sort of a reveal every week of the top 25 as they do every Tuesday. And then also, a special bracket reveal. I'd like to see those couple things be added. You don't have to get too fancy with the shows or anything, and it would just be an overlay, a graphic, and so I think it'd be pretty easy for them to get into the game. I think
I almost the first time you see the bracket do a slow reveal.
I just hate the actual result.
Yeah, I just hate when the game always, the rankings or playoffs or bowls come out. It just, here it is, right though, with bracket and the conference champs that can be locked in because you know who they are. You generally know who they're going to be. You're going to know from the game results who they are. It's going to be those at-larges where the first time you go into it, maybe it does a slow reveal. And maybe you get Reese Davis doing a voiceover saying, a brief talking. Like if you don't want to do the mocap or you don't want to do animation on, I'd say player model, but announcer model, you don't have to. But obviously the first time I think is the key one. Make it special. Make it so people want to share it on social media. So people want to put it in their YouTube videos, not just some big text monstrosity.
To me, there's two things with that. Yeah, I want to see it, but at the same time, my biggest concern is having to watch it and then not being able to go back and watch it or not being able to do anything else while you watch it. I just had this thought in my head that What if you had like a split screen to where it's like a picture of the picture and the top is the reveal, and then you can still manage your roster.
Play the Dr. Pepper minigame.
Play the Dr. Pepper minigame. Yeah, exactly. But no, to where you can still be interacting with the game and still be able to watch that reveal. And then if you want to go full screen on the reveal, you can, you know, expand that screen or something like that. You can go back and watch it, download it, upload it to YouTube, something like that, to where I'm interested in watching it, but I also don't want to completely lose focus on the game while I have to watch it, you know, kind of thing.
Right. So it's one of those that it doesn't need to be a 30-minute thing, but it's got to be special the first time you see it.
For sure, yeah. But it also needs to be a reason for me to watch it even after the first time. You know?
Right, right. Yeah.
And make it to where if I want to watch it or if I'm half interested in watching it, I can do that and do something else at the same time.
So I can see some YouTuber or streamer, if it's a any kind of slow reveal, whether that's just the names on the bracket or if there's commentary with it, they put a mock-up of themselves watching it for the first time and then doing a celebration or, you know, dejection if they don't get in. Like, I can easily see them reenacting, like, you know, we saw with Florida State and we saw with, you know, Alabama and Texas last week when they got announced, where some of the schools were celebrating and then Florida State was just heartbroken. Like, I can see somebody, like, doing, like you said, going back afterwards, recording it and doing, like, a, you know, going in their editing software and making themselves in there watching. There's lots of potential. I just hope EA gives users the chance for it to happen.
Well, and even they could, you know, mock up the same reaction videos within the game to where you have a room full of players in street clothes that are reacting to the results. And, you know, if Michigan gets paired up with Alabama, then they get, you know, get upset or nervous. Whatever, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Let's get to some community feedback. Taylor Malone weighed in after we posted about the interview with Cam Weber. Who do we think the missing teams are? He says, I know USC, Notre Dame, and Kentucky were all not signed on at one point. No, there are some smaller schools that weren't as well. That's a very good question. We don't know, unfortunately. The only thing we can do is we've been trying to track some of this stuff on our world-famous EA Sports College Football News and Information Central at the Gaming Tailgate, trying to do a team tracker. When the game was first announced back in 2021, a lot of the media sites, they were trying to reach out to the schools and find out who would and would not be in the game, who had and had not signed on. Granted, that went by the wayside, unfortunately. I think they knew that initially that was a lot of traffic and hype, but nobody wanted to stick with the work of contacting 130-plus schools. When we come across information, we've been trying to update this. The last time we had information was back in May of 2023. A lot of schools are in. Granted, I need to update this. We know it's about around 130 as of right now. The last 12 undecideds that we knew of were App State, BYU, Duke, Georgia, Hawaii, Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, Missouri, Notre Dame, Rice, Texas A&M, USC, and Washington State. It does not mean they will not be in the game. Per Matt Brown, it sounds like everyone's submitting assets. It's just that they have not signed the dotted line and said, yes, we will be in the game. So those are the 12 that last, I don't say last report, but basically last we had heard from other outlets had not signed on yet. So I would assume that the missing schools that Cam referenced are probably among those 12. Let's go through some of our YouTube channel comments and mentions. Chester Wilson Jr. put create a prospect in dynasty mode and create a team or team builder at Anthony Peralta 7086. This is a great idea. This is one that it's been on. I think every user, every fan has like a small request they want. They know we'll probably never get in, but it's always a small thing they want. I'm in the camp with him. Let us rank the top 25 teams. Just say a team that is 10-2 is first place and you want to fix it. It would be cool. What I believe he means by that is basically let users edit what the game has as the top 25. So whether it be when you play a play now or whether you start a dynasty, if you go in and edit the rosters, which we may not be able to, but just go with it for now. So basically, if you have a roster set and you edit it, you want the rankings to reflect that. If somebody goes in now, say an NCAA Bowl 14, edits the rosters and makes Alabama awful, you don't want them being number one on when you start the dynasty. That makes no sense for a 60 overall team to be number one. So somewhere where you could edit that. I know some of the guys who behind the scenes did that with College Football Revamped could do it, with the Dynasty Editor could do it. But let's get a way for everybody to do it.
Yeah, and I think what he's saying is the ability in the season to be able to change their rankings so that, you know, if there is a 12-0 Florida State is getting left out, then let me go in there and fix it. And again, I'm all for, if it's your game, let you control, have complete control of it. Obviously, maybe take away the ability to earn achievements that way or something like that. But at the same time, if it's your game, you get to play it however you want to play it. So to me, that, I think that's a great idea. You'd have to be careful with it. But at the same time, again, it's their game. Don't do it in online Dynasty, but do it in offline and go to town, you know.
Yep.
In online Dynasty, maybe give everybody the ability to vote, you know, and maybe if you have agreements to not vote for yourself, or, you know, have an agreement to at least be objective with things, have them be able to vote for that. And also maybe for the Heisman, things like that, kind of add a little more immersion into and connectivity into your online dynasties.
Yeah. I mean, there is the coaches poll. So why not let me participate into it?
At White Randy Goated says, I think you guys are forgetting that not everything has to be added at launch, but also that you only get one chance to make a first impression. And they have, EA said that thanks to Matt Brown, as he said that in the interview, this game will most definitely have continuous updates as we get farther into the 2024 season. Love the content. Keep up the good work. It's a good point. Things can be added after launch. I know very early on, there were some reports saying that Ultimate Team was not going to be in necessarily, or confirmed to be in at launch. I always thought that was incorrect, and I'm pretty sure that will be in at launch.
That makes money. As I said, that was created before anything else was created. So
But I agree with him. But I also have concerns that I can't think where EA Football has added anything big post release, aside from 09 when they added Ultimate Team. Maybe you guys can think of something. I could
plus,
not.
Plus, how is it going to affect already started Dynasty?
It depends, depends what the mode is. It depends what they add in. I think he's saying that.
If they're adding in rosters, is that, you know, you're not going to be able to update those rosters in your Dynasty that you've already started and things like that. So, like, some of the stuff, it's probably not going to be after launch because it's already going to affect a lot of people, because a lot of people are going to play Dynasty.
I think it's talking about a big feature, but I just think big features typically, I always feel like EA is a little apprehensive about doing that for probably a multitude of reasons. More can go wrong. And also they want to keep some of that big stuff, you know, for the next year.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is to me, I don't think we'll see big features added throughout the year. I think we will definitely get roster updates, because if nothing else, because of online play or something like that. To me, the small features, I think, is stuff that they could add. Maybe they add in mascot challenge. They don't spend any time pre-launch, but they say, hey, to the intern, go spend a week and build this out in the game or something like that.
You do it before Christmas. You do it a couple weeks before Christmas. So little kids get the game, have mascot mashup to play.
They did this before. You had uniform updates. Those were done throughout the season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they did DLC mostly for that. And again, I think most people would welcome that kind of DLC. But again, I don't think we'll get big features added that way.
At RF Jones 2578 said, the blue diamond that you see on some new rookies in Madden, where you have to play them over 500 plays to reveal ratings. I hope we get a snap count in college football. What are your guys' thoughts on that? That was relating back to the podcast where we talked about what Madden NFL features, gameplay features should be in college football.
To me,
I go either way on it. It's not a bad idea at all. I mean,
it's not a bad idea. I think you in college football, you more know about the players in terms of scouting during high school and practice and spring game and stuff like that. I mean, to me, maybe you unlock, the more you play with them, you unlock their ability to progress or something like that. But at the same time, I think in general, coaches know their players most of the time, you know, on what they think they'll be able to achieve by the time they hit the field.
What if I see where this actually might really work really well. Is I was thinking about going back to the transfer portal discussion. If it's a known player, and if you have the ratings, it makes it really easy to know who to go after. It's not like in real life where a four-star might sit the bench and not play. So maybe those guys who never played, or maybe just got all players in general, you have the scouting to get more precise ratings, but maybe those ratings can change even more once you start to play them. So maybe that's where kind of a blue diamond comes in. So where that way, that would help with the portal, because if you can see all their ratings, then it's just recruiting round two. It's not a transfer portal. So I think there's potential with what RF Jones here says. I think there's something where maybe the more you play players, the more you get precise ratings on them. So
I've always been in favor of kind of a similar method of hide the overall rating. you know, don't show an overall, just show it based upon their traits. I don't think EA is ever going to do that because you want to see the 99 overall guy. But but if you're not the coach of that player, then yeah, they should have a letter grade. Well, maybe it's a range, you know, C to B or B to A or something like that. And then, yes, as you talk to them more or they get on the field more or something like that, you see that turn into that number or into a number range or something like that.
This is from a Washington Huskies fan. I believe he has a generic name on here, so I'm not even going to try to say it. He goes, I would like to see CPU controlled teams that use a ton of pre-snap motion in real life move players around in the game. Because when I am watching college football, I see a lot of player movement pre-snap when the offense is looking to take advantage, catch the defense off guard personnel-wise. So that kind of ties in. Our theme tonight has been a lot of what will the computer do? So I like his point where the computer used a lot of pre-snap motion to do things.
And most of that motion really is kind of scripted in advance to where they want to see, is the defender going to follow him across the field or something like that? So, I mean, yeah, if they in the playbook, if they have that, but at the same time, you have to also be able to snap the ball before having to wait for that motion. Because, you know, back in 14, you'd have pre-snap motion and it wouldn't run in time by the time you snap the ball. And so, you know, you'd get a delay of game or something like that. So, yeah, I'd like to see something like that as well. Like, you know, like he says, to kind of catch the defense off guard or to see what, you know, are they in zone or man or something like that, that would be pretty neat.
One thing that, as we wrap up the show here, that I did not see mentioned in the community during the year, but I know back in the day in our Wishlist tournament and just feedback forums, this was brought up. At the time, a couple of people said, how about point spreads for each matchup? You know, I think 10 plus years ago, the world was different in college football. Gambling was taboo. We didn't really talk about it. Now, the lines existed. I mean, fans definitely gambled. Fans knew about it. The local papers would always have the lines. I think it's back then it was, that's not going to happen, man. That'd be cool. Not going to happen. Now, I'm not so sure that it isn't a possibility. Again, another potential sponsorship. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions on this one. Would you like to see point spreads for each matchup? And what's your thoughts on the rise in gambling focus? And I'll throw mine out real quick. Generally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of it because I feel like people are relying too much on what Vegas says. Like we saw that with the playoff field, people saying, well, do you think Florida State would be favored over Alabama? Well, I don't really care. I mean, you know, on that Friday night, Oregon was a 10-point favorite over Washington, and they played, and Washington was a better team. So you can't really go by that. And I don't like how all these shows, that's their big focus. Game Day has a gambling segment where they give picks. But I will say, I do listen to a lot of shows that talk about the lines and betting, because I find that people who actually put their money where their mouth is are watching the games. So these guys who are gambling, they watch the games and pay attention more than a lot of the talking heads on some of the channels who don't watch the games, in my opinion. So while I don't like the rise in the focus, I think you can also kind of take advantage of it by saying, well, okay, if these are really truly betting, they are actually at least watching the games. So they know what they're talking about. So would you guys like to see point spreads? Because I can sure see a potential where users would track their record against the spread and brag about it online and want to cover the spread each game.
I think you made a great point. It's another way to get a sponsorship into the game. So, you know, it's money in EA's pocket. So I can see that definitely happening.
Especially with ESPN having their own gambling service now. Sorry to interrupt, but ESPN being out there.
True. Yeah. But again, I'm with you. I'm not in a huge favor of that taking over real life college football. If it's in the game, so be it. But at the same time, I could see some parents getting upset that their kid, you know, their 12-year-old kid is now looking at betting lines or something like that. I don't know.
Daddy, what's over under mean?
On a game rated E.
Exactly.
I don't know why I'm taking a mention in a game like that. That's a good point. I thought about that too. I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be in the game at all. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be in the game at all just because of the simple fact of the game being rated E, and the EA Sports is sure as hell not going to want to change that. So,
well, I will say,
I don't think there's a big cry from the gaming community to have it in the game either. No, if it's not in the game, I mean, it's not in Madden. So, I mean, it's true. I don't think people are going to care.
Yeah. But this is a way for college football to kind of stand out from Madden to say, hey, you know, it's not a big deal, but at the same time, they can kind of, you know, show the score ticker a little bit different than what Madden has or something like that. But again, you know, like we said, it's an rated E game, but at the same time, ESPN has it all over, you know, the whole channel. So,
and you're not actually gambling. It's like you're actually going there and doing something with the gambling. It's just, we think this team is favored by 2 scores.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works.
Kids see that all the time. yeah, it may influence some 12-year-old that never heard of it before, but at the same time, it's not like it's something that kids are totally...
It's all over TV.
Exactly.
I just don't see how there's going to be a want for it, and also how accurate it's going to be.
I think it's pretty easy with computer versus computer, because you look at ratings and you look at scores. It's for the user, you get the problem. So if they're playing short quarters and have low stats, but yet somehow they're blowing out everybody, or if they have a low team rating, but yet they're blowing out everybody, the game may not be able to handle. Like, how do we figure out the favor? You'd have to use computer different determinations for the user who's blowing them out versus computer. I have thought of that as well. That would be the biggest challenge, is how to get that number. So as you wrap up this show, which may be our last one before Christmas, I'm going to ask you guys, what's your one personal Christmas wish for the game? It doesn't have to be a big feature. It can be something small or minor. I don't care. What's something, and it could be something that maybe only you want. Tell Santa real quickly, what one feature do you hope's in the game?
Really, really, really expanded playbooks. Like really massively brand new plays, you know, new formations, just really big blowout playbooks.
A working expanded transfer portal.
I'm going to go with something that I have not seen a lot of places, and it's a small feature. The ability to select field art. In terms of like the game would be able to go in, they would go in and look at old field arts. So let's say you want to bring in a 1990s field art or 1980s field art, because all those you can find off YouTube and get those. And some designer can make that relatively easily. I couldn't, because I have no artistic ability, but somebody who is under payroll, I think could do it. And I think where the advantage of that comes in is somebody who grew up watching the game in say the 70s, you're not going to get a 70s stadium, but you can have your 70s field art. Or if you grew up in the 80s, the same thing, 90s, same thing, 2000, etc. Because we got the cool throwback uniforms, but really would set that off if you had the field art with it. It's a small thing that I've never really seen a lot of community ask for, but I think if they added that in, that'd be a really cool addition.